This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I'm from Baton Rouge.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it, breathe me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Good night, Bahamas. Good night to all those listening outside the Bahamas, to the international community. Thank you very much for tuning in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or Governor, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone number tonight. 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And I am very, very appreciative to each and every one of you who listen to and those who listen to Inside the Inner City. I didn't know the show was that popular in the country. I thank you all. You guys have also made it very popular because we're on the same page, talking about the struggles, talking about the problems we face in the country. We're doing like the inside stuff. We're bringing it to reality. Our things that have been happening in our country for a long time that we're turning a blind eye to, which has been hurting us tremendously in the country over the years because it was a problem, many problems, and we pack at it, but we have never solved the problem. In doing so, it led to many of what we have been accused of. Not all of us, because some of us has more powers than others. And we now, from listening to our Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vian Monroe, who I only is comment on what you comment on, not as an individual, unless it's your character, based on what you say in public. It goes on the airwaves, then you know how we respond to it, but not now to diminish someone's character. But at the same time, we have to make some corrections to what they're saying, because we are doing this for a very, very long time, and we have settled to address it by making our views be known, whether media, whether talk show hosts, talk shows, or sometimes the town halls meeting up with our problems. But like I say, you know, we never get the satisfaction, the quick justice in our country. So many of us feel like we can't really get justice from the system. We had many retaliation killing in the country because we felt that we wouldn't get justice from the criminal justice system. Either it took too long or high profile cases were put before other cases that meant more. So it seems to those individuals who push those particular cases on, it makes the Bahamian people feel like they're disadvantaged in the country. And we have to voice our opinion, because if we don't, our country would continue to go down a down spiral where we continue to follow that path. And once one bad apple in any government, any leader, any institute, can spoil the whole batch. And if we don't address it, it would get worse and worse and worse. And many of our systems that we have in the country, that many of us respect, law-abiding citizens in the country. We're talking about institutes like our Border Protection, the Ministry of National Security, and then the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, which protects our outer rim. And then we have the Royal Bahamas Police Force, which itself protects the citizens of the country, which includes each and every one of us in the country. So when you pledge to say protect the citizens, you are pledging to protect each and every one who live in this country. There's 250,000 Bahamians living in this country. The job of the Royal Bahamas Police Force is to protect the citizens. The police primary job also is to separate the difference in the citizens from the law-abiding citizens to those who commit criminal offenses, such as murder, such as child abuse, rape, armed robbery, black collar crimes, and et cetera, and even to the very top. That's their job. In doing so, they have a mandate to know when to apply that that law or that aggression towards those individuals. But for us who is law-abiding citizens in the country, that jurisdiction goes to us unless we break the law. So when we're saying protect and serve the citizens, it's talking about each and every one of us who, by law, by the Constitution, who abides by the law, okay? So we can be where we have the law enforcement or the branch of government, branch of law enforcement, the leaders who govern these departments over the years, but never acknowledge the wrong that occurs in the country. And by doing so, you are assuring the general public that nothing is going to change. Despite the best efforts of the new commissioner of police, Ms. Shanta Knowles, who I'd say has a hard task, and I think that she's doing a great job, but the task at hand is very, very difficult. We have heard it over and over that the disciplinary branch of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, we heard some senior officers say it's very difficult to discipline our senior officers in the force. So not only on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, but over the whole entire government branch of law enforcement. If we don't address it, like I said, it's going to get worse and worse in the country. And our leaders, you know, when they talk, they're not bringing it to the general public. Ms. Shanta Knowles, the Commissioner of Police, she was given an outline of the progress they're making in rooting for us and trying to gain the general public trust again. She talked about the two officers who were interdicted when it comes to alleged guy of interest who was locked up for murder and attempted murder, found his escape at a particular police station. Now, under investigation, she said this is before the tribunal of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and they are high, also rank officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And then she talked about the two other officers, et cetera, who we saw on Facebook, you know, say don't make it obvious, you know, but, and then she, you know, talked about other matters. She talked about the civilian complaint against police, how much was put for the, excuse me, I think how many complaints were put before the complaints board of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. She talked about how much, you know, was tried, you know, and many are still waiting to be investigated and tried before the tribunal, which is very high. Many complaints against police are very high. And we also have to bear in mind some of the complaints, you know, can be false, you know. to watch the officers. But in the majority of cases, there are a lot of complaints that are not false, and just shows you the kind of injustice is going on in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because you know a lot of them know that they were protected. They signed contracts with the government, and they know they're protected. They really don't talk on one another. It's very rare for police officers to talk on one another because they have a fraternity. But all in all, we listened to her very tangibly, and then she made a comment talking about that she don't like what a defense attorney lawyer said about a particular individual who was a former Royal Bahamas Defense Force petty officer. He was recently convicted. Now he's being sentenced. I mean, he got sentenced 4 years. And his lawyer stated that, you know, that persons in the Bahamas, especially in law enforcement, and, you know, he's talking about law enforcement, the defense force, and further up, that, you know, it's corrupt. And she said, you know, she has a right to, because, you know, she has to protect the integrity of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. She has the right to do it. She don't want to send a bad stain, because even though she probably can mean good of trying to do the best that she can, there are persons who live in this life of corruption who were there for a long time and has passed on to other fellow officers. And they don't like that tone of voice. And then, you know, she speak the best that she can. And I think she's doing the best that she can, honestly. I think it's going to take a lot of progress. I think we have to continue to talk about the issue, continue for our leaders who pass these laws in Parliament, who are head of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and stuff like that, to start to put in strategic measures to keep officers disciplined over the course of their career, so that when citizens file charges, it can be investigated properly. But at the same time, we have to make sure the word of the citizen, the complainant, is true towards the officer. Because again, we have a lot of people who would just say bad things, and we have a lot of liars in the country as well, you know, who could lie on the officer. So we want a proper investigation. And if the investigation proves thoroughly or true, then it's put before the tribunal, and then they can decide if it could be a criminal matter. And that's what we're going to have to do, continue to talk about it, put strategic measures in place, because we do have a problem. The thing that bothers the Bahamian people is that we know we have a problem. We want to find a solution. We're hearing what the commissioner has to say. We appreciate that. You know, we're not against the police. You know, I just want the police and everyone out there who are listening to the show, we don't hate the police. It's just that things have been going on for a very long time that have been affecting us. See, there's two worlds in the Bahamas, okay? Okay, Bay Street, which is about 1,000 steps from Guardian Radio. What I'm speaking on right now is about 1,000 steps. I think about 1,000 steps and I'm to Bay Street. That is a different world once we get to Bay Street. You know, there's a different life. The breeze is different. The atmosphere is different. The people are different, you know. And then when you're coming over the hill, you know, it's completely different. Same thing as the cell, as the police station, the cell. You know, when you get locked up, it's different. The court is different. The hospital is different. It's a different world. The prison is a different world. You all understand where I'm coming from? So people who live inside the inner city community, Camp Road, Fox Hill, Bain and Grunston, Angleston, Fox Hill, you know, all of those communities, and even the surrounding communities, we all know what's going on in the country. And when our leaders, who we're looking for, just to say we have a problem in the country, label all the officers, label all the defense force officers who are being accused or being sentenced, because we notice as citizens in the country, we notice we've been reading the newspaper over the years, right? And we've been seeing what has been happening. They have been involved in criminal activity all over the board. So tell us that. Tell us what you're going to do to root it out, because we all be humans here. When you give remarks like, I'm going to play the good part, I'm going to play the clip I started a little earlier, but there's two clips I want to play, and then I'm going to get back to this conversation. But I just wanted to start the show off so that, you know, we could get a good feel of what the conversation is going to be. And then, you know, you guys could weigh in after we play the two clips, because there's some good things the government is doing as well that I appreciate many of the programs. It's just that we have to work on some other things, and that's why I speak the way I speak, because I live in the inner city community every day. I hang to the local bars. You know, that's where I hang. You know, I'm on the streets every day. So I talk to the young people. I talk to the old people. Wherever I go, and they express themselves to me. So this is like message passing on to the powers to be, because I'm still active. I live in the inner city, you know. I'm always around in the community, always working, cleaning up yards. That's what I do. I work in my community, help anywhere I can in the community, you know. That's what I do. I stay in touch. You know, that's how I know what's going on and why I could come out here and speak what I'm speaking on and how the people is responding to these comments made by our leaders. All they want is for it to be addressed properly. What is going to be the solution? How are we going to get quick service when we abuse, when we make our complaint? What is going to be the response? You know, that's all we want. How are we going to address it? You know, and that's what we want. We don't want, like, okay, why should we be offended? You know, and when I listen to the Minister of National Security, Honorable Ian Munro, who is a former lawyer, he stated that, you know, he should be offended. I mean, the Bahamian people should be offended. I mean, he said it's all of us who that particular lawyer is talking about in the United States of America, saying that we are all corrupt. You know, why blame us? No, we was in charge of no airport. We are civilians. Me and Chris is a producer. I'm a community leader and a talk show host. I don't have access to airport where I could let planes come in and out without unchecked. You understand? I sure the district attorney will represent a petty officer. This information was passed on them. Many of us don't have access to airport where we're the officer in charge. Or, so when you're saying us, why we know exactly who you're referring to. The defense attorney of Mr. Roker, right? He knew exactly who he was talking about, because this information was given from a Bahamian Defense Force officer who has spent many years on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. He is distinguished. He has ranks on the force, well established. He gave out coordinates to persons of interest of illegal narcotics, guns, drugs, etc. You know, could be human smuggling for many, many years. And he was the one who gave this information to his lawyer, you know, because, you know, lawyers are sworn under oath for confidentiality, right? And he told them these things. And if he is a senior veteran officer who has been there longer than the Minister of National Security, Ian Munro, who only has been Minister of National Security for 5 years, that officer has been on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Royal Bahamas Defense Force for over 30 plus years. So he know way more about the sea, know way more about what's going on out there, more than what the Minister of National Security knows, because that same officer, when he's out there, if he's in charge of the boat, he is the commandant of the Defense Force. You understand? The only thing he have to do, if he feels fit, he could radio in. But what goes on out there, if he's the officer in charge, just like if it's a police officer in a patrol car, and he's a senior ranking officer, that constable in the car can't say a word. So that police could go out there and let somebody get away who probably they find with a little drink, you know. We also must be thankful for our police officers who give breaks to, you know, citizens as well, you know, because sometimes the officers use their discretion as well. You know, we have many officers who give a lot of people breaks for running a red light, catching with a little drink. You know, some of us drive without driver's license, et cetera. So we also have to be grateful, too, you know, for the non-corruption, you know, where we know our officers could be very, very, how I should say, very, very strict, you know. So we still have a lot of good officers out there who still look out for BMN people. We're not disputing that. We want more of that, you know, like give you a break if it's nothing so serious, you know, that it is not hurting nobody or it's nothing that, you know, you're going to endanger the lives of the next civilian in the country, you know. And we have officers who do that on a daily basis. We give them the most thanks, you know, for giving people breaks, you know. Sometimes they catch people in the store who steal in a little juice or a little chip, you know. Instead of them, you know, going and lock this individual up, they look at the status of that person, seeing that person is in no way physically fit, probably mental, going through a lot of stress. And sometimes they call the owners on the side and, you know, I'd pay for it. Would you not press charges? So they do a lot as well, you know. A lot of decent officers out there do a lot, you know, of good for the country, you know. And a lot of them give a lot of us a break, too, in the country. So we're appreciative of that. But we have a problem. We want to correct it, you know. And that's why what we're saying, you know. You know, that's what we're saying. And we and our leaders, like the Honorable Vivian Monroe, suggestion that, you know, we should be offended. No, sir, we should not be offended because the people who was involved in these alleged incidents are senior officials who have a lot of power. You understand? They run in airports, okay? They run in Defense Force boat, run in Defense Force plane. We don't have no access to these things. So we know exactly, you know? So I'm going to start the show off on some of the positive stuff the government is doing because at the same time, a lot of people might be saying, you know, I'm aggressive towards government. No, I'm with government people. But I know some things growing up, what I went through and what people are going through today, I speak on. I speak on poverty, I speak on crime, I speak on abuse, whether it's the police or on the streets. I speak about corruption that is affecting us. If you don't bring it to reality, it's going to hurt. It's been hurting all of us over the years. Okay, so that's why I have this show, you know, based on experience and what people are going through on a daily basis who I talk to. So I use that experience that they talk to me about their experiences, whether I go in the Chinese or I go in the barbershop or I'm standing by one of the bars with the young kids, younger guys or the young kids or growing ups who say, man, they like the show, they like how we talk real life, talk about this and that, and, you know, and they're giving their conversation, man, they right on point on what's going on in the country. So this is just a response to allies to the country. But before we play the clip, I just want to play some of the programs that are going on in the country that I think is beneficial that the government is doing. But like I said, we have other issues that has been plaguing us. And if we don't address those, we're going to be going around in circles. And things are going to get worse because as long as we continue to allow it happen, here's something I want to say. You don't believe this? You don't believe me? You know this rot we get around in Nassau? That's all about? All about Nassau? You know where they first got Nassau? They first got Nassau from Bay Street by the dock. And look how they spread all over Nassau right now. I was by the Ministry of Environment. And they do a DNA test on the rats. These rats were brought in on the ships, but came in the ship, the slave ships, and the pirate ships, and the English ships that came to the Bahamas, either by trade, and they came on the rope, the ropes. These rats come from England, France, and places like that. But in here in the Bahamas today, and look how they spread all over the Bahamas. You know why? Listen why. Because we ain't doing nothing to fix the problem. And it spread and it spread and it spread and it spread. So that one rat with came on a ship, multiply, multiply, multiply. They land in Grunstein, they land on Bay Street. They went in Grunstein, they stayed there for a couple of years, they spread out the Mason Dixon, they spread this way. Someone come in the car, come in the car, get a ride, going this way. Harbor there. You see, that's the same thing how corruption is spread. Eh? That's the same thing how corruption is spread. And that's what's spreading. So we have to try find a way on how we're going to reverse it. So these are some positive programs that the government is doing. You know, I just want to talk about it real good, real fast, and I'm going to go back to my topic. And then you guys could call in. Go ahead, Chris.
It started off as a We call it a carpenter helper. That apprenticeship is nothing new to me. I became a lawyer through the apprenticeship program. And I dare say many of those who came to the apprenticeship program are far better than those who were credentialed.
This program was a great opportunity for our young people to gain skills.
I came out of apprenticeship through the Bahamas Hotel Training College, and that was one of the richest experiences I had in my university life.
That's it? Short. Okay. Yeah, that's the apprenticeship program that the government is doing, and it's a very creative program, and I think a lot of young people, you know, you want a chance, or you need to check that out. These programs that the government has available. Also, the small business development program. I mean, it's a little difficult, you know, but, you know, way to try, you know. I mean, I know you're tired of going out there and going through the red tape, you know, but it's way to try, you know. If you have a plan on how you could start a small business, you know, think about it, write it down, and then make yourself to the small business development, you know. It's for you. Like I say, it's a lot of red tape, you know, and I know you could get frustrated because they're back and forth, and a lot of you don't have computers and et cetera, et cetera. I understand that, but still give it a try, you know, good program that they have. Also, let me see. You have a record-breaking number of tourists visiting our country. You know, I talked about that. It's actually... The Bahamas has welcomed a record-breaking 12.5 million visitors in 2025, smashing 2024's record and blowing past pre-pandemic 2019 figures by more than 72%. Minister of Tourism, Investment and Aviation Chester Cooper said, you know, if you look at the investment that has been happening in Exuma, what's been happening in Freeport, some of the investment that is happening in the Bahamas with the whole, the hospital that's going to be developed in Fort Charlotte, you know, state of the art. You know, we have airports building on the family island. The government now is trying to purchase, what's that hotel? Grand Cayenne Hotel, et cetera. So there's a lot of investments happening. The government has gotten investments in the billions, but that's all good, you know, that's all good. But then when we have nurses sick out for overtime pay, the Police Staff Association talking about their insurance and et cetera and et cetera. So even the police is complaining about their insurance and et cetera and et cetera. So there are major issues going on in the country, despite major investments in the billions in the country. Nursing industry, they're on a strike, you know. All of the major wards at the Princess Margaret Hospital was left uncared for. Like I say, you can't really blame the nurse, you know. They're watching all these billions of dollars get invested in the government. You know, they're doing 10 times the job that our politicians are doing, because they're having surgeries, they're having emergencies, they're having pregnancy, they have to do blood tests, man, you know. It's so much going on with our nurses and doctors at the Princess Margaret Hospital that, you know, they are overworked. And like I say, you know, this shows you the sign of the country, you know. How and where are we going to positively invest all of this investment that is being invested in the Bahamas? It's not going to the right place. And we are seeing now the unrest that is starting in our country, you know, because people want to be paid. They have a heart for their job, but at the same time, the Bahamas is one of the most expensive places to live in the world, okay? And the screen is on, beaming people. I get the fact that the government of the Bahamas, under the tutelage of Prime Minister Brave Davis, helped drop food items in the food store, like bread basket items. And, you know, that's good, and we appreciate that. We understand that, you know, it's a step in the right direction, but nevertheless, it was your government under the leadership of former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone, Christie, who in fact introduced Watt here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he made things extra tough in the Bahamas. I hope we could get Watt off the billing supplies, you know, because that is killing, you know. I know that's going to be hard because that is going to be hard, but if we could get it off billing supplies in the country, that'd be great. You know, because the other day, like I said, I went to the store the other day and I spent like $700, $800. And, you know, when I look on my receipt, I came up to like almost 800. You know, I think it went over 800, if I'm correct, you know. And that's crazy. You know, your purchase price is like $719, right? You have the $719 in your pocket. But you can't get that supply for $719 because with the tax, the VAT tax, it adds on to every supply you bought at a hardware store. And then it's charged to your account, which you take it to $100-something. But let me ask you a question. You know, I pay in for my license, right? I pay in for my insurance for my vehicle. Now I'm paying taxes on items that are coming in the country, you know, that I'm a citizen of. And I'm paying taxes. What is my return? Do they help me in the buck that when I go to the hardware store and I spend $700? How do you know it's me? You know? So that you can give me something back. So when they pay all these taxes all over these stores and the Chinese and stuff, I should get something back. You know, I should get something back. I should get something back, you know? I should get something back because I'm paying my national insurance. I'm paying for my driver's license. I'm paying for my insurance for my truck. I'm paying to get a license as well. But yet still, when I ride in the road and I waste my tire, I have to pay for my tire myself. When it's supposed to be the Ministry of Public Works paying for it because we pay insurance for our truck, our vehicles. So once, and the government owns the road. So if there's a pothole in the road and I waste my tire, right? And I'm paying, like I say, I'm paying for my license. I'm paying for all this stuff. Who should pay for my tire? Should I go in my pocket pay for my tire on a government road that I pay taxes for? You understand where I'm coming from? The road, the public, the government of the Bahamas is supposed to pay for it. And that's how we got to start looking at things. But we need to get something in return. So I just give them a little insight. Are we going to be the next clip, please?
I came here today to see the progress in the institution and inclusion of solar in our energy mix. When we inherited government, we met a very antiquated end-of-life system in energy. Energy was unreliable, and basically the prices are just too high. And this is part of the component of that transformation that we are doing in the energy sector. So I came to see the progress, and we are progressing in this lane. Very soon, we'll see more affordable, more reliable electricity for our Bahamian people.
And that's our program, which is progress that the government of Bahamas is trying to bring some relief to the Bahamian people. You know, they're doing a good job as well in that avenue. But like I say, you know, we have major issues going on in the country that are way more important than just investment, you know. Way more. We can play the next clip again. This is the next clip, so we can get the ball rolling. Some of the problems we face, so we're just doing a review of some of the stuff that's been happening through the week.
Security Minister Wayne Monroe says Bahamians should be offended following comments by an American lawyer who said Bahamian law enforcement and government officials are corrupt. He was defending Commissioner of Police Shanta Knowles, who has been heavily criticized after saying she was offended.
Another fellow say all of us corrupt, not just the police. So anyone who wants to stand with them must put their hand up and say, I admit I'm corrupt. Because he didn't cast his persons just over an organization, over a country. And so any Bahamian who will wish to support somebody who's accusing you of being corrupt because of something one man does, then you clearly must be corrupt if you're accepting that description. it is right and just for you to be offended by an American who must know that their police officers, federal agents, are put before the courts when they do wrong, to seek to use that to label everybody in a country. Why would you not be offended by that?
Martin Roth, who was the attorney of former Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer Darren Rocha, told a U.S. district judge that the entire system in the Bahamas is corrupted. Rocha, who was accused of playing a major role in a conspiracy to import tons of cocaine into the United States, was recently sentenced to 48 months in prison. Monroe asserted that Roth simply was trying to get his client a lesser sentence.
The same prosecution indicted a former DEA agent with criminally facilitating trafficking. And so across every organization, you may find a bad apple. Bahamians just need to Google DEA agent, charged, convicted, and you will see that it is a matter that happens. I think the commissioner, the prime minister, everyone puts it correctly. One bad apple does not taint an entire organization. I like to say that the test is, what happens when you find that bad apple? Do you cover it up or do you address it?
Rocha, along with 10 Bahamians, including a senior police officer and two Colombians, were indicted in a New York court in 2024 and charged with conspiracy to import cocaine into the U.S., possession and use of firearms, and firearms conspiracy. The National Security Minister says the record will show that officers have been placed before the courts for alleged wrongdoing.
In fact, that is why you have this thing about police officers going before the court. Defense Force, well, a police officer was recently convicted in a case brought by the police. Defense Force officers and Marines going before the court. Prison officers going before the court. That shows and demonstrates that when they are found wanting, it is not covered up. The public should be concerned if you were seeing nobody go before the court, because that may be an indication of a cover-up. And so the same thing that people say causes alarm, that the police put police officers before the court, they put Defense Force Marines and officers before the court, correctional officers before the court. You may think that, look at what these fellas are doing. Well, I would ask you to say, look at what the police are doing, who are putting them before the court.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonik Tu.
Well, you know, I like one or two things he said, but, you know, when he talking about what if they were not putting people before the court, Mr. Monroe, I don't know where you've been in the last 30, 40 years, but there are numerous complaints made against many officers in the force over the last 20 years, and a lot has not been investigated. There are a few hand-picked cases that draw national attention that they go about these investigation. If you look what went on the family island, Mr. Monroe, it wasn't for the U.S. government exposing these particular criminal activities. The investigation department of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, they wasn't investigating where they supposed to investigate. They more focused on the streets. When they wasn't investigating their own department, because according to some of the information that we received, that was going on a very, very long time. And I know you were saying that if you're a person of interest, the police will go after you. Yeah, well, some of these guys have been doing stuff for over 20 years in the country, you know? And only because they keep doing what they was doing and they got bold with it and it was exposed internationally, then these investigations started to take place. So it wasn't the exposure. And for persons in the country who made complaints and were speaking when they had the chance to speak on the radio, on ZNS News, or on Facebook, these things would have gone unchecked in this country. And that's what the Bahamian people know. We know that. You know, so despite what you were saying, and with all good intention, you are a former lawyer and a Minister of National Security, and you will defend the police. Whether they're right or wrong, you will speak highly about them. But the public view is we know exactly what's going on. And yes, we like the progress. And yes, there are police officers getting investigated and put before the court. Prison officials, correction officers, defense force officers. But that officer who I knew, he was shot with 2 armed robbery, right? And now he's in Foxville prison. How long have he been doing that? Where's the investigation that was investigating these particular incidents? Now, I know that it's impossible, you know, to investigate every individual. It's an impossible task, okay? Even every officer on the Royal Bahamas Police Force is an impossible task for the Royal Bahamas Police Force to investigate because the manpower and then, you know, same thing with the Defense Force. But, like I say, you can do internal investigation. And until we can establish an independent body of investigators, probably from the general public who do training for a year or two, who can be appointed as police officers to arrest police officers of that nature, even though we have the tribunal. We understand all that. The people want to break away from officers, investigating officers. We want a system in place like internal affairs that is not controlled by the state. It is controlled by the citizen of the state, understanding that this is not political, this is not protection, okay? All right, and I always say that it's fairness. This is not to decharacterize any individual. This is to make sure we have a balance in place to let the officers, whether you're the defense force, whether you're the immigration officer, whether you're police officers, that if you do illegal activities, that you can be arrested on the spot and dealt with in a timely fashion. That's all we want. We don't want to hear excuses like what Mr. Monroe is saying, because it's offensive to us what he's saying. Because these comments he said and what the commissioner of police said, you look at the comments. There's not one person who says something to support the comments they said. Everyone say they know exactly what they're talking about. I'm not offended as a BM. That's what everyone's saying on Facebook. That's what everyone was saying, that they are not offended. So look at the remarks of what the Minister of National Security say and the comments, and look at what the Commissioner of Police, Shanton Knoll, said, and see if there's one comment supporting them. You must get 1,000 saying, I'm not offended as a BMN. Okay? Because why should we? Like I say, the powers to be are still running away from the fact that they have serious corruption in their department. And they're trying to still convince the general public that it's one bad apple. How in the world it get one bad apple? In fact, you shouldn't say one bad apple. That is the wrongest thing you could say, is one bad apple. Because that common reading, when you say one bad apple or one bad person, let me show you what one bad apple could do. We're traveling back in the day, fruits. When you pick fruits like mangoes, pears, you know what, you know how much days it takes to ripe. So if you was a trader who was selling fruits, grapes and et cetera, and then you had to travel from here, say just from the Bahamas to Haiti, and just say you say it was a 2-day trip or a 3-day trip. So you know in between there, that time frame, your fruit would ripe. So you put it in the grain, and you would try and make your journey within the 3-4 days so that your fruit would ripen and not overripe, so that you could be on time with your fruit. Now, just say you pick this whole tree, this whole stock of mangoes. You make sure, check everyone, there are no bruises, they grin. But little that you know, when one was thrown down, it ended up dropping and hit a little rock, you know? So it got a little bruise on it, you know? Just, it ain't look nothing, you know? A little bruise on it. So you would look at it and say, man, you could throw it in the, you could throw it in the park. Don't worry about that. You know, throw it in the park because you think it's not going to do no damage. Now you take the same little green mango with a little crack on it. Now all these other rest, these thousands and thousands of mangoes, they were green and, you know, not damaged. But this little one with this little crack. So you take it, you throw it in there. As you go on your journey, you're going to let fruit fly coming there. And he's going to stop him. This one, he's going to stop on that one. He's going to stop on this one, trying to jerk his little sticky thing a minute, you know, like a little sticky point, you know. And then a little fly, you know, and then he check it. He check it all this. Oh, man, all is good. Man, they get away. Then, by chance, you see this little, same little one you drop, you know. So you go down, he's, yeah, wow. In fact, it started with one little poke. Now, on that journey, that started decay. When you look at that, start off a little small spot, then I get a little bigger, then I get to a black spot. Then you look, that get devoured. Then you look, the worms and the bacteria go in the next set. And they start to go to that one, and that one, right? And then it go round like that, and then go like that. When you go on the bottom of the ship, you have to throw away everything. You understand? You see? You would have to get rid of the whole load. And that's one bad apple, and that's one fruit. And I know that personally. Yes, one poison. Can define a country. Because that one poison has a lot of influence on other poisons, okay? I was a leader of a gang. And I had my time running the gang. We had different guys who were leading the Border Boys, but we all had different entity of the gangs where people were attracted to whoever they were attracted to. And I had the majority of guys, okay? And look how that influence affected all those guys. And I'm talking hundreds, okay? They started to pick up the same identity as what we had. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. Because it spreads. And we have to address it, you know. We have to address it. And I think we're starting to address it. But when our leaders, you know, try to put the blame on us, and Mr. Munnery, you know, I respect authority. You know, I don't be disrespectful to authority. But comments made, but get a reply. Because we as Bahamian people know exactly what's going on in our country. And when we speak, you should listen and respond to us. See, I know it's close to election. And they don't want to defend the beliefs for us because the first set of people who vote in the general election are the government workers. And right now, the government don't want to offend the agencies because they can also decide on who wins the general election, you know, because, and this is one of the reasons we have so much corruption because they use this as a bargaining chip. You know, because a lot of senior corps are involved in both the PLP and FNM. And they are there with the top politicians in the country. And there's a connection because we heard some promotion that were given out on the force in the last 30, 40 years were politically motivated. There are a lot of officers who I talk to who complain about how they're being overlooked and overshadowed by officers who don't even deserve the post. So there's also a moral decay in the force as well. You know, they talk about that. You know, some officers are given quick position over officers who are highly intelligent, who are qualified for the job, you know, and they really want to contribute to their country. But connections and who you know seems to be the order of the day. We have heard the Honorable Minister of Freeport and the leader of opposition, the Honorable Michael Pintard, you know, he talked and said that if the Free National Movement gets in power, they would not be given out promotion. you know, like giving out promotions to individuals in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because we've had both parties put their top brass officer in place. And he said that they would minimize that to make sure that merit, hard work, dedication, your background check, your community works, how your attitude is, you know, for you to be becoming a sergeant or inspector, you know, how is your mental health, et cetera, how you get along with people, how many assault charges are being filed against you from individuals in the country who are saying you are being harassing them or doing the same thing. Is this going to be overlooked and they still get this promotion? That's the question with people want to answer, because it seems that when you do some type of allegation, it's like you are appointed to a different position. Like you do corruption, it might be made to the general public or read to the general public. Whether it's true or not, it is like thrown away and persons are given special benefits, you know. And I don't try to stop no one from making progress in the country, because I'm a Bahamian. And despite what's going on, I still want the best for every individual in the country who wants to do good for themselves. But at the same time, you know, there are some who use their position of power and they abuse that opportunity to enrich themselves and put a black eye on the Bahamas. We had a former Commissioner of Police, Mr. Clayton Fernando. I think he's a British High Commissioner or ambassador. He left the force, and many people comment on that as well. You know, I mean, he was not convicted of nothing, but his name was swirling, you know, around the country, especially when senior officers like Michael Johnson was accused of taking bribes, et cetera. Certain other officers on this watch who were running the airport, you know, who was charged with possession of dangerous drug with intent to supply, who were running these airports, and et cetera. So, it's a lot to talk about. And it goes again, you know, why are we taking the blame? Why the Minister of National Security saying we're supposed to be offended? That's the thing about it. Why should we be offended? And it goes back to say, we are not in charge of no airport. Okay? We don't know access to a lot of plane to land on no airport. We don't know police plane or the Defense Force plane. We don't want no Royal Bahamas Police Force boat. And these things was used in these allegations. So that's why the defense lawyer that was played on the clip said what he said, because this is the information he received from the New York District Attorney's Office in their presentation against the case against former Defense Force officer, Petty Officer Ruka. Yes? So what did Mr. Monroe say? We should be offended. We have these evidence that was presented, like given on the navigations, so that they cannot, drug smugglers enter the Bahamas or going to U.S. cannot be detected. Mr. Monroe, are you addressing these things? Are you addressing the fact that officers, since you say it's one bad apple who let a known murderer, an attempted murderer, out of police custody? Then we had it a few years ago where we had a father was replaced by a son in the police station, put there by drug enforcement unit officers who apprehend the father. He was put in the Pacific Police Station on the return of the investigating officers, the DEU officers from the Royal Bahamas Police Force, went to the station to pick up the suspect. When they went to the cell, the suspect was not there. There was a likeness of someone in the cell who was a little younger. And under close observation of the officers, it would reveal that it was the son. But the officers could have swear, the police officers who brought him in the station could have swear it was the father. So they was kind of thinking that they got the wrong guy, you know? I mean, that's only a joke. You understand? So tales like that. You know, and we could go on and on, okay? So it's not one bad apple, and it's not one poison, Mr. Monroe. And I thought you was the Minister of National Security, and you were supposed to have all of this information at your table, or you were just trying to say that Roker is the one bad apple. That's what you're trying to say? So if you just want to say Roker's the one bad apple, then what about the prison officer? What about the defense force officers? What about the other police officers? And et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. See, it don't add up to us. You know, I got a message here. Say, Scrooge, love listening to your show, but there's more than one bad apple in that cart when it comes to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I call the whole cart bad, you know, and that's many people's opinion. And that's because they're overshadowing, the bad is overshadowing the good of the Royal Bahamas Police Force and Defense Force, and we all be human. So we're not against you guys, okay? We're against that's what some of the officers were doing. We're against the law. Simple as that. We have one more clip? Or we got a call? Go ahead, caller. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Yeah, Scoochie, what's going on, man? I saw him so long, I almost forget what I came to say.
Sorry, man. I didn't even see it. Think I'm blinking, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you end up saying everything. Anyway, by the way, great show on Professor Saturday, on Professor Day. Yeah, great show.
Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah, but you end up saying everything what I came to say. I came to say, yeah, well, how are they counting, man? They can't count it. Whatever match that is. They know, well, if we start for Michael Johnson, they don't have one bad apple.
Yes, sir.
Then
yes,
there's
sir.
A rule, or officer, Mr. Rule, he gets you out too for picking up the money. Then if you go to Sonny Miller, that's another bad apple. Then the police on Shirley Street, that's another bad apple. Then the defense force would rob the place on the Michael Road. That's another bad apple. Then Roker, and then that's another bad apple. Man, what type of
match
is it? That's one.
It must be one. That's the new Kong.
That must be the new Kong, eh?
Yeah, the producer says...
I mean, Gordon Olive said, maybe you're going way back to the Elizabeth and St. Cell.
No.
Where Satan boy was changed with his son. I think, man, come on, man. What? That's I get one bad apple, and then that's with 20, I guess, called right there alone. You know, but what teenage... Nuclear entitled need to do is investigate, man.
What do you call it?
All the time, hey, you said on the show last Friday, go to the airport, investigate, find out who all in involvement, how this get out, how the cocaine get out.
That's right.
What plane they use, what strategy they use, who all involved.
None of that.
Yeah, you know, they already answer. You should be offended, hold up your hand, and be if you. Yeah, well, I go hold up my hand, man. I offended it, yeah. I'm not offended, man. I go hold up my hand, I ain't offended. Because we know what's going on.
Yes.
But then we don't do no investigation, everything. Yeah. You see him, you was talking about the DA officer and everything, and the other one would just get charged Saturday for giving all the drug dealers the information when they come in. What happened to him?
Right.
What happened to him? Huh?
Right.
Any deep underneath the cell? He deep underneath the cell. Now, I'm going to tell you, underneath the cell. Huh? Them people that investigate properly and put their people in jail and let them be accountable for the crimes what they do.
Yes.
But then if we ain't giving you a little slap on the wrist, you get away on a technicality, or you get a pardon, or you get a gnarly prosecute or something. You know, all type of foolishness going on. I mean, Bishop Boy, the red them up. And then the red them up, because this foolishness is going on too long.
Too long.
Yeah, I man. Awesome. Keep up the good work, man. Keep up the good work, Scrooge.
Yeah, thank you very much. See, I just want the leaders of this country, when they speak, you got to be careful how you speak, because this is the response. What the gentleman saying right now, that's a response all over Nassau. Why you won't get us mixed up in this? We ain't no police who running no airport in Auckland. We ain't no police who running no airport at Nassau International Airport. When as a Bahamian, I'm going to go do some traveling to go see my son. He's getting graduated and may God spare life if I live. I want to go to the States. You know what we do? I'm going to put up my police record, right? Go to the police station. Then I know they're going to send me down to Thompson Boulevard, you know, because I also have to do a check-in. Okay? Then I have to go to the airport 3 hours ahead of time to make sure it's me, so they do a background check before I enter the United States of America. They know you might have to go 4 hours now. You know, it's more or less difficult to get in the United States of America now because of the situation surrounding the Bahamas with this corruption, right? And then when I go to the U.S., you understand, I did the right procedure. I don't own an airport. I'm not no senior officer, you know. I can't check the planes, look on the manifest, stop the plane, go on the plane, tell this one do whatever I want them to do when I have the answer to nobody. These places are they are mine, but the officers in charge of these, sections, they are the commissioner, even though they are senior officers. But right then and there, they are the commissioner. Like I said, the only way they report to the commissioner of police, if they feel like. But other than that, they are the commissioner. And any officers under them can't say a thing because the force goes with seniority, and you have to respect the senior officer. And that's the bottom line. So even if it's a good cop there, he sees what's going on, he might get whispered in theirs, but you know, if 3-4 cops there, you think you're going to go back and talk what they did. Huh? And they know if they stick together, ain't nothing gonna happen unless God intervene. And we know that. And we see in the movies, right? And we see the movies in real, but we see in it. And it happens, what happens in the movie happens in real life, and it happens, Rachel, in the Bahamas as well. You know, they are protected like servants. And we don't mind that. We just don't want you to be able to get so corrupt that you are untouchable and you're harming the Bahamas. You understand? Because this is what's happening to us right now. See, where they gone? Oh, no. Because I must be saying things. You know, because they're saying no passport selling or nothing. And this going on in the country, it says here in the Tribune, Haitian pastor in $14,000 visa scam. Let me see here. An employee of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and 3 Grand Bahama residents are accused of orchestrating a visa fraud scheme that prosecutors say suppressed more than $14,000 from a church link effort to bring a Haitian pastor and his wife and their 8 children to the Bahamas. Chavette Simmons of New Providence, along with Grand Bahama residents Jomish Joseph, Margaret Matty, and Mark Roll, are charged with conspiracy to commit fraud by false pretense. The case, which involves 73 counts, is being heard before Magistrate Charlton Smith in the Freeport Magistrate Court. Prosecutors allege the defendants arranged for payments to funnel through an Island Lock account, you know. And then we had this other case involved I forget what kind of citizen it was, but he has nationality in the Bahamas, and he was using his nationality to get passports or similar to foreign nationals who coming to visit the Bahamas. So he was using his nationality and his connection to actually make some big dollars. And he was a big-time businessman. And he is charged. So there's something going on in the country, and I guess that's why all the restrictions coming down on a lot of Bahamians now. And then our Minister of National Security won't put the blame on all of us. You know, and our commissioner of police, you know, she, like I say, she don't want to be so offensive because it's very, very not good for her to speak out against the corruption. She don't really speak out on it. She named some stuff off, but she's not speaking on it, like, to identify it, like, all the names. You know, we just go off on all the names. All in, that's all I mean. All the names in the last 10 years. Name of all those who are being dismissed from the force. And then, if some have not been dismissed, why not use some of them to train the next generation of Defense Force officers and Royal Bahamas Police Force and say, you know, I made a mistake, what you made a mistake. You know, they could also be consulars as well, you know, in some cases, you know, in the Bahamas. So sometimes people do things through circumstances, you know, and yeah, we can forgive them, you know, and if they get their punishment that fits their description, you know, because we have to be a forgiving nation, but we also have to be a nation that keeps our integrity in check. Because if we don't, corruption will destroy us as a nation. And we start to have in fights, like what you see happening in the United States of America right now, under the presidency of Donald Trump. He has some good initiative. I understand what he is trying to do, but he kind of gone overboard on some issues that he is implementing with his government, especially breaking the Constitution with this Gestapo-type federal government who does not answer to the local government. Federal overshadows the local law enforcement, and they're having a big, big problem with that right now in this country. The phone line is lighting up all the time. Listen, the court was out, so I'm sorry. The court was out, so I wasn't seeing the call, so I'm going to let y'all guys get in. I'm going to stop talking and let you guys be part of the show, because we have like 40 more minutes. So I want to apologize to you guys. The phone plug was out. Now you just put it in. So you call us. Go ahead. Call her. You're on Inside the Inner City. Good night to you. Good night, you there, caller. I'm very sorry. Caller, you there? Go ahead, caller. Good night to you.
Yeah, so the whole system is corrupt. So even just food feeding the system, and that's the main thing. From the, like you say, from the prison to the police force, defense force, immigration, pure corruption. And Wayne Monroe to be saying that, DEA was convicted, an FBI agent is being convicted. When anytime there's a serious crime with one of our officers or one of our agents, the court case gets dropped. They're never convicted or found guilty. They're always offered bail.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This how you feel. This how you feel as a citizen. This how you feel how the system is in the country.
The system is corrupt. The whole system is corrupt. Like, if from the passport office down to what do you call it? To the general registry building.
Wow. And other people feel like this as well.
Well, I'm a 28-year-old male in the Bahamas, and a lot of people, especially in this younger generation, everyone, like, they give up on the system.
Like, they give up?
They give up on the system.
Wow. You see, I'm telling the general public this is what's happening. They ain't going by what me and Monroe said, the commissioner of police are saying, no more. That respect is gone because we have been lied for so many years. Now you see the general. This is just a young man.
And the data proven, the nurses just said it today. They feel that the reason that they've been promised, but they're not going to work because why?
The nurses too?
Yeah. Why the nurses that they're not going back to work? Because even though they're promised that they'll be paid,
they ain't trusting
they don't
that.
Trust that.
You see that? But you, you know, I said it a little earlier on the show. Now you see this young gentleman who's 20 years of age, highly intelligent, and you hear his response is, and this is how the general public feel towards our system. You know, we have to change the system. We have to break the system, made more accessible, transparent, and honest. Right now, it ain't honest at all. And you hear the gentleman is talking about it. Go ahead, Carl. You still there?
Yeah, that's all I got to say, man.
Okay, thank you very much. And this is no opinion of a regular Bahamian who wants better for the country, you know. He sees it as a 28-year-old, and he says that this generation has given up on our system. See, I want people to bear in mind, the system we have, we turn it just like Rome. Our system is turned just like Rome. And for the Christian society and it's Bahamas. If you can't see it, then you don't know nothing but God. Our system is turning just like Rome, where the leaders of the country, our armed forces, politicians, the pastors, they could get away with anything in this country. Anything they could get away with in this country. And they are not given, they are not accounted for because they are protected. And unless we can fix that. But we are persecuting the younger guys in the streets. When they was talking about crime, when I was growing up, you know, I was a gangster. Nothing that I'm proud of. But it taught me something. It taught me about leadership. It was meant to happen, but it teach me leadership, teach me about life. And now I'm able to use that to help fix some of the problem, talk about some of the problem, and to express myself to those who are listening can be a part of the conversation so we can fix this country. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. Bless up, good night to you, brother.
Yeah, you know, enough respect, all right? Tell them off, they need more handcuffs. You know what I mean? So the thing is, Squizzy, I was enjoying your monologue and I was listening to the show, you know, and it's so true, right? And then the younger people call and they know this, right? But, you know, let's go back along the chronological lines, right? You remember Commissioner Thompson, you know, one of the, you know, back in the days, of course, everybody respected him. You know, I always liked when he called. Don't lie, I used to like when he called the shows.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's now deceased. May God bless him.
That's Elisha Thompson, right?
Paul Thompson.
Paul Thompson. And he grew up around. I grew up on him.
Dinkus old man.
Yes,
old man.
To Lewis Creek. Yes.
Our boy Dinkus old man.
Yes,
you know,
Paul
Dinkus,
Thompson, right to Lewis Creek.
Yeah, Dinkus was a real community.
Yes.
Community guy. We could have used somebody like him in the city who really had a rapport with all the inner city youth. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, everybody was sincere with him. You know, the thing is, I would like to say that the comment on what you're saying and what Muff is saying, the thing is about the politicalization of the force and as corruption evolves, nothing is never solved. We ponder who's involved. And so that's the whole chronology right there, because who are involved, nothing will never be solved. I heard some rhetoric last week about cold cases, and, you know, that's just I don't know if it's a myth. I mean... Cold cases will never be solved. I mean, you know why, right?
Yeah.
It's beneficial for them.
Yeah.
And let's look at the corruptions, complaints and corruption unit. I recommended as a lowly sheep in the pasture, right?
Yeah.
That they move that entity from off of the barracks where people don't have to be intimidated and throw a salute and put on a uniform just to go in there and make a complaint, because I was rejected when I went there to make a complaint.
Yeah, take it out there. Take it out from out there.
After. You know, I told you some money was taken during a search.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing was being done. I still haven't gotten my money, all right? Minister Bell was on the radio today. I wanted to call, but I didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
But when I called, if I had called, I would let him know. I, it's the same gentleman who we had written the check for back years ago when I had a $3,000 bicycle that went missing while I was in the station.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the most expensive bike went missing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so.
And so when we deny corruption, it's really disrespectful to the citizenry. And so when I go back in chronology, let's go back at the let's remember Shando King, the officer who went on the run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the
him
situation
too.
With
I hope the commission talk about that too. That's one bad apple too.
And he was shooting
at his colleagues. He was shooting at that other police too. He shoot at some young guys. Then he shoot at some police. I'm glad you brought it up.
He was involved in an incident in the Grove, not too far from the policy shop. I know the rundown. But you know, that's my boy, son. I have nothing against him.
No,
but what I'm talking about.
We're talking
about
the system.
We're talking about what is going on
with the system.
They take it too personal when they. Like you said, something you said very important. You and I didn't. We're not police officers. We don't wait to the airport. They call the airport, right?
Yeah.
So what happened is we the burden of responsibility is on the citizen also. But you and I didn't swear to uphold the law.
Mm-mm.
You know, and our actions don't affect the general public as it relates to oppression, suppression, and obfuscation of the truth.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The kangarooing of the system.
Yes.
The commandeering of the judicial system.
Yes.
You and I would have known the intricacies. You know, I mean, Scoochie, come on. From back in the days, when someone would pull up and say, they could turn a blind eye to this and that. That's basically an extortion. You know, you got to get them to something.
Wait.
You don't want to get into what all these because, I mean, you say it sometime, but I'm ashamed of what some things I did. You understand what I'm saying, Scoozy?
Yes, you go.
But they always had a principle about me in that certain things I would not do.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
And those things, and when they accuse you of things that you know you wouldn't do morally, it hurts you because they just go on what they hear what somebody else say.
Yeah.
But it's always gospel when it comes to the civilian. But when it comes to them, it has to be alleged and has to be proven. Let's look at the Azario Major documentation case. And we could go on with a plethora.
That's the next bot opera.
Yeah. And so we look at Elvis, right?
Yeah.
Remember, you remember the case with Elvis, them, the outlaws, them who got caught with the silencer coming into Wawaki.
Yeah.
Mr. Thompson had mentioned this on the radio and then the plot to kill one of the commissioners.
Yeah, that's me, Mark. That's DK Wannabe.
Yeah, because DK was strict.
That was a former police officer because he was trying to fire him off the force. To bring
but I know
discipline.
Elvis, my brother was on the defense force. My brother was one of the first outlaws on the defense force, but he's now reformed. Big time. You know, you know what I'm saying? The defense force had this problem a long time about things going missing, et cetera, et cetera. He would have gone in first with Terrence Wright. That's your boy. He had a brother big time up in CDU before he died. And then it would have been Mark O'Farrell and them type of guys. But it was very early in the recruit. This would have been right after the Defense Force would have started.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? We could go on with the whole chronology of insubordinations that people deny. So one of the things I hate is that they treat us like imbeciles. In order to solve a problem, you have to acknowledge a problem.
That's right.
You have to acknowledge the extent of the problem. Just statement. This is philosophical and
that's what all the Bahamian people want.
Yeah. So if you're not recognizing the problem, like you and I in the city, right? Like I told them, only the people know the corrupt officers is the guys who want to speak. But they themselves are under threat, and it's very, very dangerous to really speak out.
Because they come back for you.
Going to happen.
Because they're going to come back for you. System.
Yeah, they control the system, but like I say, schools, you got to keep it up, you know, because I mean, I don't know what they expect. I guess the joke is for me. When you put on a uniform, you become transformed, and nothing you can do nothing wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So give thanks, my brother.
Yeah.
You know, we up against a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
I wanted to say this before I go. The pastor that is mixed up in the fraud, he should be sent abroad. And I mean, his citizenship should be revoked.
That's right.
He's a traitor. And you and I would have been mentioning all these things about the justice of the peace.
Yes.
Where there's no peace. They signed all these.
Yes, you said it.
I think you said 73 cases?
Yes.
And he signed 73
offenses.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But he signed all these affidavits.
Yes, yes.
And nothing is being done. So, I mean, what's the repercussion? So, I mean, it's still going to be going on. We still have a few bad apples. But we could count a million. Give thanks.
Yes.
Imagine the set, you're fine. A police officer is not going to come out and say, I'm a bad apple.
No.
See me here. Come on, give me a break, please. Yeah.
No. Unless they get catch in the eye. And that's what's happening right now when the minister of National Security, the Honorable Vin Monroe, when he was addressing seems to defending and then trying to put a blame on us as citizens. You know? Yeah, we know. And this is the response of every citizen. Every citizen will call on a show or any show will tell you, and this will be a response. So to the Minister of National Security and to the Commissioner of Police, this is a response to your statements, the statements you guys made. Police force, we just want you guys to admit that there's a problem. Address it. Okay? Address it. Start the discipline and train the officers in a different way of life. There are many benefits going in the Royal Bahamas Police Force because there are many courses and careers that you could go in and you could use the benefits because you travel all around the world. For the benefits of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You go to England, you go to London, you go to America, you go to Israel. You know, you go to these places to train. And you had a place they said? So you had a place they said? So you see some of us are coming back with that same attitude of suppression. The countries that I talked about are countries that rule with an iron fist. And our law enforcement also go there to train. So I don't know if that's having a psychiatric effect on our officers because, you know, and then we come here to the Bahamas. And we are basically a black and black community. We have a large white community in the country, but they extensively stay out of the inner city community level. They live on our outer rims, on the Bay Street, Old West, or the East, and around the outer rim, Sandy Port. But we, who are Bahamians, live inside the inner city community. The majority of Bahamians live inside the inner city community. You know, so, yeah. You know.
It's a lot. You know, this Haitian pastor, first of all, I don't like to see people, bad things happen to people. But if we don't put mechanism in place, like in this case, if he is proven guilty, his citizenship is nationally as a Bahamian should be revoked and he should be sent back. You know, or he spent a long time in jail if he's a Bahamian citizen. His whatever should be revoked, dealt with properly, a public announcement. You know, you have to start taking people's citizenship back who violate the Bahamian constitution and Bahamian law. You know, we just can't get a slap on the wrist right now when these individuals are going to make it harder for us as citizens to be traveling around the world because of their bungling and their corruption. You can't say people ain't doing it. You know, we are people of nationality from foreign lands, not just Haiti, but other parts of the world who live in here. And they're using their position of power once they get the Bahamian citizenship to encourage others to come in the country illegally and then use what they have as a JP to give them papers and status in the country. That is treason unless we start to persecute and investigate to the highest extreme and start to make an example of individuals who are disrespecting the Bahamian immigration laws. This is going to continue. You know, we need harsher punishment. And harsher punishment comes in where your citizenship, your work permit, your travel documents can be seized from you or in the Bahamas, you know? We have one more clip. We can play this last clip. One second, he's going to play it right now.
Health care is a priority of the government, and where there are shortfalls, whether human resources or otherwise, it's deeply troubling.
It's up. That's it? The buffer no day. Well, that's the lady who was talking about the strike today. Yeah, she's talking about the strikes. There was a sicko, so I'd read it. Scores of public health nurses staged a sicko Wednesday night and yesterday regarding overtime pay impacting operations at the nation's two government hospitals as well as various clinics across the country. After days of tension over the outstanding money owed, the Public Hospital Authority announced in a statement that financing for the nurses overtime was approved and is being processed. A little over $2 million is owed to the workers. Operation at Princess Margaret Hospital, oxygen emergency department, and its dialysis units were the most affected by the nurses' actions, the Nassau Guardian was told. Public health officials were working yesterday to manage schedules and reallocate resources to minimize disruption, the PHA said. Leadership teams are maintaining safe staffing levels and implementing contingency measures to ensure essential healthcare services remain uninterrupted, PHA said. And the younger guy who called in, who was 28 years of age, a caller? Oh, okay. He made a statement, and even the nurses are upset because even though we're making billions of dollars, record-breaking tourists, and et cetera, the people who are working hardest in the country are not getting paid, and now they're getting the $2 million. We're going to play the clip real quick.
Healthcare is a priority of the government, and where there are shortfalls, whether human resources or otherwise, it's deeply troubling. Now, having said that, an assessment is underway today to try and determine the extent of the problem and to make sure that coverage is in place where needed and that it's prioritized, as is the case in emergency situations and scenarios like these. In the meantime, we are very hopeful to speak with the relevant union stakeholders to get a handle on the problem, to speak about the situation and to come to a resolution so that the public health system can return to full strength as soon as is possible.
Well, like the gentleman stated, you know, we have a lot of problems and they need to be addressed. The people need their money. And listen, like I said, we need those nurses and doctors from the Philippines and Cuba as much as possible. They take the screen off our nurses and doctors. But at the same time, you know, the nurses and doctors come from Cuba, come from the Philippines and stuff like that. They're very good. They're very professional. And their pay, what they're receiving in the Bahamas, is like equivalent to what the Bahamian nurses are half. I don't know how much they get paid, but I know that our money value is like 10 times more than their money. So that money to them is a lot. And they do a good job of taking care of our Bahamian citizens, the old, the young, the kids, and stuff like that. So there's nothing wrong with us having them come in the country. But at the same time, we need to raise the pay of our nurses in the country because they are overworked. So Bahamian people, we should not be upset or get rattled when we see it. Former nurses and doctors come in the country. It's a plus to us because we have a major health problem in our country. We have a mental health crisis in our country, and we have a major health crisis in the country. We have high diabetes. We get cancer. We have chronically ill diseases. We have sexually transmitted diseases out there. There's a lot of medication out there, but we are understaffed, so we need much help as possible from the neighboring communities to come here in the Bahamas and be a part of our healthcare. But at the same time, we need an alternative as well to see how we can start to teach our kids on healthy living. You know, I see they're passing certain laws in the United States of America now on what is give the kids sugar. They're trying to allow the kids now to eat healthier. They are stopping certain products from being on the shelf. And we have to do the same over here, you know, because we have a lot of kids who have high diabetes in our country because they're eating bad, they're not exercising on time. We have a lot of bad food that is imported here in the country in the billions that are not checked by proper health officials that what we should let in the country and what we should not let in the country. Countries like Russia, France, and Germany, et cetera, they don't allow food that contains artifacts that is going to give you sugar, that is going to give you cancer, that is going to give you diabetes, okay? They ban those stuff from coming to their countries so that they can have a healthy society. And this takes the screen off the hospital. So if we want to see better, we're going to have to start as well as teaching our kids in the primary school, the junior high school, and the senior high school on proper healthy practice. You know, like fruits and vegetables and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. About the drinks they drink, like the soda, we have to tell them break down their soda and the intake of sugar that they receive at a very young age. You can imagine a kid drinking soda from morning to night or juice from morning to night. We have to do better because we are crossing the screen on our health care, okay? So we have to find a way on how the Ministry of Health and the Bahamas government can come up with a coercive plan that is going to be established that teaches healthy living across the educational system in our government schools, our junior high schools, in our community, and we use radio and TV to address these matters and put the statistics out there to show you how many people in the Bahamas have diabetes and cancer and what you can do to prevent it by eating certain fruits and vegetables. And we have a lot of herbal remedies like soursop tea, moringa tea, okay, mango leaf tea, blue vervain. You know, there are a lot of good herbal remedies out there that we can also, along with the pharmaceutical, that we could also be prescribing to the high volume of persons with chronic ear diseases in the country, so that we could have a reduced population of people going to Princess Margaret Hospital. So we have to start with the kids so that we reduce that. But this is a 20-year plan. You know, we have a lot to do because we are one of the highest in diabetes, cancer, transmitted sexual diseases, and et cetera. Okay? So I want to say thanks to all the callers. You guys did a wonderful job calling in on the show. You all make some valid points. I'm just happy to come on the show every Friday and talk about our problems, see how we could fix them, and you guys be a part of it. You guys are actually my guests. But you call in, and you guys do a wonderful job, and how you respond, professional, you know, with integrity. And you guys always have a solution, always identify the problem. And I'm glad that we are on one page. And that's what I am. I am a nationalist. I am I'm an honest person. I'm not a biased person. You understand? And I exclude myself from being a biased person or a jealous person or a person who get mad easily. No, I'm a person who understand life. I understand if you want to have a better country, you have to have a calm demeanor. You have to have an understanding demeanor. But you also have a heart to speak the truth and to fight for what's true in this country. And that's who I am. And always willing to help anybody if I have the finance or if I have the opportunity to do it. And I'm encouraging other Bahamians to do the same. I'm your host, Valentino Brand, a.k.a. Scooter Scrooge, or Daddy, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City of Bahamas every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio. I'll see you next week and hope to see you guys. And drive safe, enjoy your weekend, and have a very, very pleasant good night. See you next week.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they's calling Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to 100 grand.